Our scripture reading for today comes from Romans chapter 7. We'll read the entire chapter, verses 1 through 25. Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives? For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore the fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin was dead. For I was alive apart from the law. But when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment sin might become utterly sinful. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Let's pray. Lord God, we ask for your wisdom, Lord. We ask for you to mold us, to shape us day by day, hour by hour, and this morning to be like your Son, Jesus Christ. We need you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I guess 2 weeks ago, I didn't scare you off. So I'm back for today. And again, I want to thank you for your support of me and ARC, the Apologetics Resource Center. And again, 2 weeks ago, I started with a World War II analogy, a World War II story, and I guess I really like doing that because we're going to do that again this morning. Towards the end of World War II, as it was looking more and more like the Allied forces were going to win, the Germans changed up their tactics just a little bit. They went from all-out frontal warfare to guerrilla warfare. And Joseph Goebbels was someone very powerful in the German administration. He decided to create what he called werewolves, Nazi werewolves. And the thought was this with guerrilla warfare. All right, we're losing the war head on, but in secret, in hiding, we were going to have soldiers, we were going to have those who agreed with us, with the Nazis, fight in close quarters when no one was aware. So if you were an Allied soldier walking along the path at night, you might get picked off. If you were a German politician, a German mayor who had been a little too friendly with the Allied forces, you might be assassinated, so on and so forth, to pick people off one by one. You see, the war was coming to a close. They had lost, but they decided to change the tactics, the Germans did, to guerrilla warfare, hence the werewolves. So although it didn't change the end result, it struck fear in the German people and among Allied forces in Germany. With that in mind, we're going to come to this passage and I'll connect those together. We revisit Romans 7 verses 21 through 24, and we have to note the emotion in Paul's voice as he's writing this. For in my being, verse 22, I delight in God's law. There's joy in the things of the Lord. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin. Have you ever felt torn inside of you? Between the things of the Lord you know you ought to do and the type of men and women we ought to be. But we know our flesh still battles us. Then we get to verse 24, and we have to note the heartbreak. What a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Who will still deliver me? And now you might be thinking, well, Paul, you're an apostle. You know more about the things of God than we do. And yet even Paul is torn. And Paul considers himself the chief of sinners. How many of us had this thought when we were first saved or aware of our salvation? When we thought that things were going to get easier. We thought that we weren't going to struggle as much with sin, right? Because you walk with Christ, all your problems, all your struggles, they disappear, right? Everything's going to be sunshine and rainbows. And yet we see this is not the case. So to understand how Paul got to verse 24, we have to back up. And we're going to walk through this chapter, Romans chapter 7. So the first part, verses 1 through 6, and the point Paul is making here is simple. Think about the laws we obey here in America, in Alabama. As much as we might not like it, we pay taxes. As much as we don't always like it, we somewhat obey the rules of the road. And so on and so forth. We have laws that we follow, and we're under the law until we die. And then no longer you have to follow the laws of Alabama, the laws of the U.S. That's what Paul starts out with in verses 1 through 6. And the analogy he uses is marriage. That as a spouse, you are tied to the person you're married to until death. And then at death, you're no longer bound by that marriage. And then he moves to verses 4 through 6 and then makes this profound spiritual point. You were under the law before Christ. But now you are dead to sin when you walk with Jesus, and you're now under Christ. You're set free. Verse 6. But now, dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. The old law that we read about in the Old Testament, we're free. We have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost dwelling inside of us. Amen. So at this point, we're thinking, it's been a great chapter. All right, under the old law, but we're dead to that law. We're free in Christ. We're alive by the Spirit. Let's go home. Romans 7, it's been real. It's been fun. But Romans 7 doesn't stop there. Remember, we're moving on towards verses 24 and 25. So there's a lot we got to get through. So then we get to Romans 7, verse 7. Paul continues, what shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. Again, a legal and a spiritual point. All right? So, for example, thou shalt not murder. Well, you have to know what murder is, right? And then once you know what murder is, well, then you're now held by that standard of the law. There, you can't claim ignorance, right? God has given us a law, right? We have the conscience in our hearts, but above and beyond that, we have the law outlined in the Old Testament, and the law is beautiful. We get to know God through the law, and we're going to move more into that. But what this also means with our sin and our flesh, we're fallen. We've broken the law. And so Paul wants to balance the good aspects of the law, but then also we're sinful and we've broken the commandments. And if you're like me and you sin, and as I was reading this prayer of confession in today's bulletin, how perfect was this for this message? So if you're like me and you sin more than you would like to, we're tempted to view the law as an enemy. Well, God, why'd you give it to us? I keep falling. I keep failing. I wasn't good enough before on my own, but now I'm saved, and I still can't follow the law. God, I still wrestle with sin. I still struggle with sin. On my own, I'm not perfect. We run into Matthew 5:48. The words that say, be ye perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. And so before salvation, we're full of sin. After salvation, we're full of sin, as our prayer of confession points out. What do? We get frustrated. God, I don't want to wrestle with the old sins. I want to put on the new man. Well, sometimes the law still is heavy on our souls. We get to Romans 7, verses 14 through 20, and then we get into slavery. We know that the law, verse 14, is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. And then you get into, if you've read this passage before, the word kind of tanglement, and I'll trip over and I'll stumble over it. I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I don't do. But what I hate, I do. If I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. It is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. And so the things we don't want to do, we do. But then the holiness that we strive for, we want to obey God, we want to obey the law, we still fail constantly. And if you're like me, again, extreme frustration. I don't do the good I want to do. Have y'all ever felt that way? In your marriages? At home with your, whether siblings, your kids, your grandkids? You know the right things. You've been taught the right things. We have the Bible. We hear the sermons. But yet we keep on sinning. And Paul just beautifully talks about that struggle here, even as believers. We're reminded of the Nazi werewolves and the tactics of Satan. Satan snipes at us when we're lonely, when we're weak. Satan attacks us in our flesh, and we're tempted, and we fall time and time again. Now, is it enough to overturn what Jesus has done on the cross? No. Our salvation is secure. But let me tell you, that doesn't make it not frustrating. When we think of our pride, our arrogance, again, prayer of confession, all these things listed here, greed, selfishness, lustfulness, laziness, it still attacks us. As Christians, we can sink into the depths of despair, talking about what Paul is walking through here, how under the law, again, we feel that weight, we feel that despair. Psalm 22, verse 2 states, "My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer by night, but I find no rest." I've worked often with young adults in young adult ministry, and they tell me a lot about their sin struggles. I've worked with youth group students, and they tell me their sin struggles, and we feel guilty about pornography. We feel guilty about substances that we abuse. We feel guilty about our selfishness and our laziness and our pride. And we wonder, God, where are you? I don't want to struggle anymore. I thought life was supposed to be easier. I thought life was supposed to get better, like a magic trick. And so this is all building this frustration to set the scene till we get to verses 23 and 24. "But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" Walking through Romans 7, do you relate to the things that you feel here? Do you relate to the fact that the law still seems to be heavy? Who will rescue me? Paul asks. Who will still deliver me? Who will set me free? Who will defeat death, hell, sin, and the grave? Who will defeat the Nazi werewolves that keep coming at me? Friends, that law that we put ourselves back under, we're free of it. We're free of the guilt that weighs on us. Sometimes we look at the law of Moses, the thou shalt nots, and after salvation, we then turn back to legalism. Then we turn back to the laws and the rules even after Christ. And Paul feels this struggle. Who will turn the law of God from the pointed finger of condemnation into the lifted hands of emancipation? I think about Moses parting the sea in Exodus 14. How on one side you had the sea. If you go in there, you drown. On the other hand, if you've read the story of the Exodus, you have Pharaoh's army. You're stuck between a rock and a hard place, just like sometimes we put ourselves in, even as Christians today. We have the law on one side that we fail, And then we have our sin on the other side, and we fail. And it's failure all around. You know who delivered the Hebrews? God did. God delivered his people. God delivered Paul. And God will still deliver you today. God will still deliver you today. Paul, more than any of us, knows what it's like to suffer for his faith. Shipwrecked, beaten, whipped, stoned, he knew how painful sin could be. And if you're not a believer here today, when we talk about deliverance, outside of Christ, there is no deliverance. There is no hope. But for us, we still have the cross. And so we get to verse 25. We get to verse 25. And the answer to Paul's struggle. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is our hope still today. So if you are tempted at times after salvation to return to the old ways of the law. Well, maybe now, all right, I'm saved. Maybe now I can be good enough. Maybe now I can be perfect. Maybe now. No, you can't be. You still need Jesus today, just as much as you did when you were saved. The grace of God that you needed upon salvation, you still need it today. The deliverance of Jesus upon the cross, you still need today. So, believer, I don't care if you were saved yesterday. I don't care if you were saved 50 years ago. Don't go back to the law. Don't do it. It's the way of legalism. It's still the way of death. You still can't be perfect enough. The Jesus who saved you yesterday, saved you 50 years ago, we still return to the cross continually. The blood still saves. The blood still saves. Don't forget that. Even when you think, oh, Jesus, thank you. I can go back and be good enough on my own. That's not true. We still need the grace every moment of every day. So again, that agony of Paul in verse 24, who will rescue me? Who will deliver me? He answers in verse 25, we are delivered through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We read, related to the law, Matthew 7, verses 17 through 18, the words of Jesus speaking of himself. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Romans 7 talks about the law. Jesus has fulfilled it. The Old Testament talks about the law. Jesus has fulfilled it. Remove yourself from that burden of legalism. You couldn't satisfy the requirements before salvation. You can't satisfy the requirements now. The only one who can is Jesus. And so we cling to him, his righteousness, his perfection, his holiness today, just as much as the day you were saved. And then once we see the law fulfilled through Jesus, we recognize that the law points us to God's holy character, his righteous character. Think about thou shalt not murder. Why? Because God's the giver of life. Thou shalt not steal. Why? Because God has provided everything we need. Now all of a sudden, instead of the law crushing us, we look through the law to see the holy, perfect, righteous character of God. And we do that through the work of Jesus Christ. Before it crushed us, now it's a window and we see his holiness and his perfection. Live in the freedom of Christ. going back to Romans 7. Just like 2 weeks ago, I asked for a little audience participation. I'm going to do that again this morning. Who here has ever played the game Chutes and Ladders? Has anyone? Show of hands. I know it's a kid's game. I know several of y'all did. Don't be ashamed. Chutes and Ladders. All right. What I want you to visualize in your brain about Romans 7. Remember, we started out 1 through 6, the freedom we have in Jesus. Let's go home, but we can't go home because we still struggle. Then Paul has this wrestling with the things he does, he doesn't want to do, all the rest of it. We get to verse 25. Thanks be to Jesus. That verse 25, all right, visualize it. It's a shoot that takes us back to verse 6. Again and again and again. Because of Jesus, all right? You still have this metaphor? Verse 25, Jesus who delivers us. We then move back to verse 6. And in verse 6, but now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that now we serve in the new way by the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. We're free. And as Christians, we need to live in that freedom. So how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we live in that freedom? One thing we need to do is live without that weight of legalism. Some of you feel that weight right now. Every day, you think about all the ways you don't measure up. You think about all the ways you've screwed up in your past. And even though you're saved, you know, yes, Jesus, the grace stuff, sure. You have either consciously or subconsciously put that weight back on you to live up to perfection. Take the weight off and be free. Take the weight off again and be free. The Jesus who saved you is still your Savior today. The second thing we need to do is we need to tell others about this freedom. Because you have neighbors, you have coworkers, you have other students in your school, and they're eaten up with guilt and shame. They think about the wrong things they've done. To use the language of the recovery ministry, Celebrate Recovery, hurts, habits, and hang-ups. They think about their addictions. They think about all the awful things they've done and said. And they have that weight on them. Be that agent of peace and freedom. Tell your neighbor. Tell your neighbor about the forgiveness they have in Jesus. Tell in your classes, at your schools, in your neighborhoods, at your workplaces, we are set free by Christ. Tell them about the gospel. Live in that freedom. The example I think of is elephants growing up. Some of you may have heard this before. When an elephant is tiny, they put chains or ropes on the elephant so that the elephant doesn't run away as they're raising it. But then when the elephant gets older, thinks about the chains, well, I can't move, the elephant mentally just stays in the same place. And they replace the chain, the heavy rope, with this big, massive elephant. They replace it with a string. They replace it with something much weaker that the elephant could break instantly if it wanted to. But the elephant stays shackled in the mind and doesn't run off because it's thinking, well, I can't break this. And so this big old elephant then stays with a string around its leg in the same spot. Free people of the string that holds them back. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the blood. Tell them about the cross. Those Nazi werewolves that snipe at you in your sin and your flesh, they can't hold you back. Again, not because we're special, not because of anything we've done, but because of the Savior who still delivers us. So again, those two points of application, live in that freedom, remove that weight, give it to Jesus, and two, tell people about Jesus. Tell them about the gospel. All right. I'll pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as Paul cries out in Romans 7, the law is still something today we can't do on our own, Lord. The things we want to do, we don't do. And the things we don't want to do, we do. And we still wrestle with sin that attacks us when we're weak and when we're lowly. Lord, I encourage everyone here today, when they're feeling this way, the weight of legalism and laws and rules, Lord, help us to return to you. You're still our Savior. You're still our Deliverer. The blood still cleanses. The blood still washes. Hallelujah. Help us to tell our neighbor. Help us to tell our neighbor about you. And you set us free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.